I was in John chapter 17, and I just felt led to, under the circumstances of what we're experiencing here in our country, to kind of take a little bit of a side street here and look at a verse in John chapter 16. So, in fact, the last verse that precedes chapter 17, I'd like us to focus on tonight. And I've really just entitled this message, Hope. I need hope. I will admit I have been discouraged. I need hope. And I want that hope for my own heart, and I want that hope for you as well. So let me begin by saying, if your response to George Floyd's death and its aftermath is anything like mine, then together we are disturbed and disheartened. Honestly, I am troubled, especially in viewing the reaction by the protesters whose response in many cities has turned into looting and rioting. Do we return injustice with more injustice and wrongdoing? Thankfully, our area here in Augusta has been peaceful, and I thank our mayor and our sheriff and those that have had a lot to do with that. May the Lord bless them. But I think, have we lost our minds here in America? I mean, talk about defunding the police. Have we lost all sense of what is right and wrong, decent and in order? It seems our ability to discern as a nation, to properly judge truth from error, right from wrong, to separate fact from fiction is a skill that is desperately missing. We have lost our ability to discern. I think of those verses in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, where Paul says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Again, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. This all means we understand then the issues of life from God's perspective. But in so many cases, this wisdom is nowhere to be found. Now, a verse that gives us hope and solace and consolation during these painful times is John chapter 16, verse 33. And again, these are Christ's words in the upper room the night before his death. You think about what Christ was about to experience. And yet he spoke these words when he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have 3 points in these divine words of hope. Point number one is the condition of life. Point number two is the conquest of Jesus. Point number three is the consequences of Jesus' victory. So the condition of life, the conquest of Jesus, and the consequences of his victory. And I say, might these results give us rest of soul in these extremely difficult days. Our first point this evening is the condition of life. And that condition is clearly stated in the statement, in the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. In the world. And that's where we are. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. We aren't in heaven yet, folk. I know we're closer to heaven than we were even last Wednesday. But we're still down here. We're still pilgrims passing through, journeying through this world. But what Jesus is telling us is this world houses trouble. It is anti-God, meaning it is against all that is good, right, honorable, decent, which makes it a disquieting and stressful and afflicting place to live. People around us are not thinking or acting very Christianly. Honestly, it truly is sad to see our nation being torn apart in city after city. Again, this world is a very troubled place to live. But Jesus quickly reminds us in our second point this evening, and that is his conquest of the world. He declares at the end of verse 16, I have overcome the what? The world. We've just seen the condition of life, the condition of this world, and it's a place of tribulation, a trouble. But then Christ declares, I have overcome the world. I have prevailed against this pain-filled world, against its sin and its death and its ruler, the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. And regarding overcoming sin, John 1:29 speaks of Christ taking away the sin of this troubled world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 tells us Jesus has purged our sins. Hebrews 9:26 reminds us that Christ has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Revelation 1:5 assures us that Jesus has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Friends, what has Jesus done to overcome our sin? He's taken away our sin. He's purged our sin. He's put away, again, our sin. He has washed us from our sins. I would say Jesus has overcome our sin. And wherever you have sin, you're going to have death. You're going to have evil that leads to death. Regarding overcoming death, in John chapter 14, verse 19, Christ assures us, because I live, ye shall live also. And this was the verse that, perhaps you knew this, that gave Ravi Zacharias hope as he lay in a hospital bed as a teenager after trying to commit suicide. Because, Christ says, I live, ye shall live also. And though Ravi has died now, he lives even presently because of Christ. Paul adds in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made what? Alive. Alive. 2 Timothy 1:10, we read that Christ has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Again, to overcome death, Jesus died to give us life. And then regarding overcoming Satan, Colossians 2:15 states, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. 2 Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that Christ will destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. And John reminds us in 1 John 3:8 that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. What do we see all around us? We see the works of the devil. But we are reminded here in 1 John 3 that Christ was manifested to destroy his works, these evil works of Satan. And I say, what conquering power and authority, triumphing over Satan and his works, destroying them. Twice we see here in Hebrews 2:14, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. again, what conquering power and authority. Now, the amazing fact here is the one who has overcome sin, death, and Satan enables us to overcome them as well. It's not just that Christ has overcome them, but he gives us the power to overcome them. What about that verse in Romans 8, verse 37? Nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. Conquest over sin, death, and Satan. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We have the God of the universe in us who's greater. And then I think of those words in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you could say, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I believe that he's my Savior, then you can join in the company of the overcomers. Sin, death, and Satan. Amen? You know when you've... One of the biggest reasons we get discouraged and down is because we feel like we're losing. You know, you look at a team that's winning versus the team that's losing. And the team that's winning, I mean, they're high-fiving and, I mean, they're flying high. Team that's losing, I mean, their noses are dragging on the ground. But we are the overcomers. Amen? We are the overcomers. And because of Christ's conquest that is now ours, we can then experience, and this is our last point this evening, the consequences of Jesus' victory. And we see two of them here in this verse, and those results are peace and good cheer. Peace and good cheer. These things, Christ says, have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have what? Peace. In me ye might have peace. And what does this peace, this shalom, do? It dissolves fear. Where Jesus' peace is, there cannot be fear. Where Jesus' peace is, there's love, and perfect love casts out what? Fear. I think of that verse in Philippians chapter 4. Well, let's begin with verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound like your fear is dissolved? It rules, this peace rules the heart. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule your heart. In other words, this divine peace is active. It is so much more than merely the absence of conflict. We're talking here the positive blessing of being on the same page as God. So again, we have here the peace of God guarding and ruling our hearts as we walk in fellowship with our Savior. And then our Lord adds a second consequence, and that is be of good cheer. This means we can take courage, we can be courageous, we can take heart, we can cheer up. Now, did you know that these words, be of good cheer, were only spoken by our Lord. He's the only one that could, and really, he's the only one that can honestly speak these words. Why? Because only in him is our victory. And certainly there's no good cheer in losing, only in victory. And only Jesus is the victor for now and for eternity. And so again, Jesus is our hope. He is our victory in these troublesome times, which means we can be ruled by peace, his peace, and we can be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome everything that makes this world so troubled, spiritually sick, and depressing. Now let me close with Paul's words from Romans chapter 8, and I know you're familiar with them. But after saying in verse 37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us," Paul quickly adds in verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded." In other words, I am completely confident or convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Again, the conditions of life, trouble and tribulation. No argument about that fact. But we have the conquest of Jesus. He is our overcomer. And as God the Son, because of him, through him, we can live in the consequences of Jesus' victory, his peace, and his good cheer.